Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by GEICO, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Final score in Indianapolis, 23-3, the Colts over the Jags in Week 12. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey from the HenneneyAutos.com studio at EverBank Field in Jacksonville. We go to the phone line and welcome in Fred Taylor, proud of the Jaguars running back down in Weston, Florida. Fred, let's start with it. I mean, a great start for this defense, this team overall. They were in the game, but second half, it just got away from them, a tale of two different halves again.
Yeah, again, this reminded me a lot of that Philly game. Brought back so many memories. I mean, the defense was terrorizing early on. We got out there, Clemens, you know, fast start. He looked fresh. He looked young. He looked quick, man. He was creating all type of havoc early on, and so was Sundarek and the rest of the guys, Smith, Ryan Davis, but not enough in the second half. And the offense, you know, much like the story of the rest of the season, young, inexperienced, not necessarily capitalizing on the opportunities, the turnovers, the good field position. And for that, we're not scoring points, and the defense gets tired. And luck in the offense of the Colts, they're able to take advantage of it in the second half.
Fred, they're getting tired. They're also maybe getting demoralized. You tell me, how demoralizing is it for a defense when you come out and you have those three straight three and outs in the second half when you've been playing as well as you have on the defensive side of the football?
Yeah, I think that started, Mike, that started in the first quarter for me. It's extremely deflating. I mean, you're out there throughout the entire season. The story has been, we're playing great. Offense, we're waiting on you. You know, we don't want to wait all season, but we're waiting on you. So you guys got to go out there and do your part. So the defense, they came out fast start. The INT, turnover, first possession. Then the offense, the first possession, two plays into the game. We threw a pick, and now the defense back is against the wall in the red zone on the other end. So that's deflating, especially when you play as well as they played. And any small thing that occurs throughout the course of the game, you know, it's going to cause frustration. It's going to cause guys to be out of character, and you lose your rhythm. And guys are going to start reacting in ways that they possibly didn't react to in practice. And they're going to try things that they shouldn't try, and that's going to create other opportunities for the opponent to exploit those mistakes. So, you know, the defense is playing great, though. You got to give credit where credit is due. They did play outstanding first half. They got to finish.
Fred, we'll get back to you in just a moment. Let's go back to Lucas Oil Stadium just outside of the Jags locker room. Jeff Lagerman has the first word with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP, here with the head coach and Gus. Obviously a disappointing game, but, boy, defensively in the first half, you guys were able to get three takeaways against Andrew Luck, sack him five times, and had some great field position for the offense, but just not able to get points.
That's the big key. I did feel that way. I think we had the ball on the ground six times, got three of them, gave different looks, some challenging looks, and we were able to get some good pressure on them, especially in the first half.
How do you get this young offense, and not using young as an excuse, but to get this offense to start making progress?
Well, you know, especially in the second half, you know, to come out in the second half like we did, and we just didn't gain any field position. Had a couple good punts that got it back for us, but just didn't get any momentum. And it's a challenge. And again, especially, you know, if you're a team that loses yardage, especially on first down, it's awful difficult. And it comes back to that discipline, that consistency. And I know our guys want it, but it's about what we do and what we believe. And that's a challenge. And that's what we've got to get on course in those areas.
You've got five remaining games. What are your expectations in these five remaining games, especially offensively?
Well, you know, it's a great thing. Well, obviously the consistency, you know, to be able to run the ball and then get the play passes off of it. They did a good job. They had tight coverage, and they really challenged us on the perimeter and in the run game. And, you know, when teams do that, we've got to take advantage of what they're doing. If they're playing a lot of single safety middle and getting an extra run defender in there, we got to take advantage of that in the passing game. So we'll take a look at it. Better on third down. You got to do a better job as far as taking care of our opportunities when they come our way.
All right, thank you, Gus. Injuries, I didn't see anybody that got hurt. The only guy that looked like maybe Josh Evans, but he has been kind of battling the shoulder all year.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like there was any injuries as far as I know. So, but we'll take a look at it when we get hear the next word from the trainers.
All right, thank you, Gus. Okay,
thank you.
Jeff Loggeman in the Jaguars locker room with head coach Gus Bradley. We'll come back. Jeff goes inside the locker room. Final score in Indianapolis, Colts 23, Jaguars 3. The Jags are 1-10. Indy improves to 7-4 in first place in the AFC South. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. At GEICO, you have a choice of ways you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Jaguars postgame continues 23-3. The final, Indy over Jacksonville. Let's go to Lucas Oil Stadium in the Jags locker room. Cecil Shorts III is with Jeff Loggeman. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Cecil, in the first half there, you guys offensively had the ball with some of the takeaways the defense had created in plus territory two different times. How frustrating is it to not score points when you have the ball and those opportunities?
Defense did a great job. They gave us opportunities in their field position. They did a great job of creating turnovers, getting pressure on the quarterback and giving us a chance. And it is frustrating. It is. But we got to do a better job. We got to regroup next week and get ready for the Giants come to town, because when the defense gets the opportunities, we cannot not score. We have to do a better job of figuring out a way to go out there and create points.
Offensively for you guys, you got a young quarterback, it's a young roster, and I'm not trying to make excuses for you guys. What is it going to take that next step to start to have progress offensively?
You know, I don't want to sound repetitive. I need to – I'm not sure. We need to figure out a way to get points and get better as offense, man.
Blake Bortles, when he first started, had some wild moments, you know, to where you just kind of go, that was a heck of a play, and it's kind of a positive sign for the future. In the last couple of weeks, do you still have confidence in a young quarterback like that as a teammate?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We know Blake is the future here, and he has a very bright future. I think he'll be very, very good. It's a matter of us as an offense getting better. You know what I mean? It's not just when you're the quarterback, you get all the blame and all the glory. So, you know, it's not just all on him as an offensive line, receivers, running back. We have to do a better job of helping him out. But we still have the utmost confidence in him, and he's going to be a great quarterback.
All right. Thank you, Cecil.
Hey, no problem.
Loggeman in the Jaguars locker room with Cecil Shorts III. Fred Taylor's on the line with us down in Weston, Florida, and I think that long answer where he was trying to find the words and just couldn't. That kind of sums it up right now, Fred.
Yeah, sums it up, man. Cecil's a player. You know, he wants to be a leader. You know, he goes out and he plays hard every single week. You know, it's sort of like us, analyzing and reporting the game. You know, you want to have something to talk about. You know, it's that much more difficult when there's not a whole lot going on, and you know, he wants to support his teammates, and he doesn't want to lose. So the frustration is definitely evident. And he just got to keep grinding. Five more games left. Anything can happen. You know, maybe you can recreate the playoff picture, beat a team here or there. You never know. But the guys got to go out fighting.
Back in the locker room in Indy, Aaron Colvin made his NFL debut today. He's with Jeff Loggeman. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. First and foremost, Aaron, a long road back. Tore your ACL at the Senior Bowl. First of all, congratulations to make it back so early.
Appreciate it.
First matchup, first NFL action, go against the Indianapolis Colts and really a future Hall of Famer, Reggie Wayne. What was that like for you?
It was a great experience. You know, he's a great receiver. So to come back my first game and get to go against a guy at that caliber, it was an honor.
How do you feel the knee is and where you're at?
I felt great, man. I felt like I was starting to play fast, you know, throughout the game. Got my feet wet and, you know, just got comfortable out there.
In the first half, you guys were able to do a tremendous job defensively. Three takeaways, sacked quarterback Andrew Luck five different times, put the offense in some great field position, weren't able to get a lot of points out of it. How frustrating is it as a defender to not get the points you need in a game like that and the situation they were given?
Honestly, we don't worry about that. We always harp on that. We can control what we can control. And as a defense, we got to go out there and we got to help and put the offense in good situations. And I felt like we did a good job of that in the first half. And, you know, unfortunately, sometimes games are like that. So we just got to find a way to build on that and just come out and be better.
All right. Thank you, Aaron.
Appreciate it.
Jeff Loggeman in the Jaguars locker room. Guys, it's time to pick an MVP of the game. Fred, who you got today?
Whoa. Mike, I give you the honors.
Mike, who do you got today?
I think
today?
This is the laydown. I mean, Chris Clemens with the three sacks in the first half created, you know, but that whole pass rush created havoc. And there can't be anybody on the offensive side of the football that got it done today. Chris Clemens had the best game he's had all season for the Jaguars and the most productive game anybody had today. I think he's the easy pick.
I'll just go off the board here and go Telvin Smith. Led the team with 12 tackles today. He was all over the field. He moved to a different position today. I saw a lot more of him than you normally see in a starting role today. Yeah. So I'm going with that. Fred, what's the tiebreaker?
You know, I'm going to go with Clemens for the tiebreaker to win MVP. But just to echo what you mentioned, Telvin Smith, I don't want to call him a rookie anymore. He reminded me a lot of what Keith Bullock did when he played, facing Keith several times with cover skills all over the place. Close second, but I think Clemens deserved it.
Clemens, three sacks, doesn't happen often, tied a franchise record for a single game today, and he is the MVP of the game. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. When we come back, a look at the lightning-fast questions of the game for Fred Taylor. Plenty left on Jaguars postgame. Final score in Indy, 23-3, the Colts over the Jags. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final score from Indianapolis, the Colts 23, Jaguars 3. Jags are 1-10. Indy now 7-4 in control of first place in the AFC South. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor is on the line from Western Florida today. It is time for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Fred Taylor, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Fred, are you ready?
Hey, man, I'm always ready, JP. Let's do this.
Okay, number one, how do you get Blake Bortles going down the stretch?
Well, I think you have to continue to do what you've been doing. I don't think it's a case of getting him going other than continuously pounding his head. Situational football, and once he learned those situations critical versus I can take a chance here, then he'll be a better quarterback.
Fred, number two, certainly tons of rookies on the offensive side, but didn't look like the Jags made any major adjustments at halftime. How much of this offense performance falls on the shoulders of Jed Fish?
Yeah, I like what Jed did today. You know, I think he mixed it up. I would love to see a deep shot, maybe one or two per quarter. You know, where in this NFL you can get a penalty, maybe deep downfield. They've been calling that a lot. But I thought it was a pretty decent mix there. And, you know, I like to see him come out and just take a shot or two per quarter, per half. And then I think they'll be fine.
Let's finish with this. How about some bright spots today? Uplift us a little bit here, Fred. What are some bright spots today for the Jags?
JP. The only thing I can do is be optimistic. The youth. I think on the offensive side, seeing guys like Telvin Smith go in there, Sundarik, those guys are, you know, these are guys that are going to return next year with more and more experience, definitely on the offensive side of the ball. And that's the only one thing I can say is the youth, and hope that next year we'll improve upon that and be much better collectively.
There you have it, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game from Fred Taylor. Let's about that youth, Fred. Do you believe in a rookie's no longer a rookie at a certain part of a season, or are you a full rookie season is very important for these guys? Do you buy into the, you know, 10 or 11 games they should be playing more than a rookie now?
You know what? I mentioned that about Telvin Smith a second ago. At some point, he had to turn on. I mean, certain guys that are drafted higher, naturally, you know, the teams don't want to just throw them out there in the fire and, you know, sort of mess them up. But those guys that get an opportunity, those guys that are playing most of the snaps, you know, you got to think, look, you're the leadoff man. So why should I consider you a rookie by play, by term and definition, of course. But there comes a time in this game, you're getting those plays and you're getting those reps. You got to toss the rookie tag out because guys are depending on you. And but if you're making those mistakes, you're going to be considered a rookie. So I don't buy into it. You have to be ready. This NFL, you got to be ready to go.
Fred, coming off the bye week, were you surprised that the Jags' offense was this bad today with the extra week of preparation, extra week to rest?
Yeah, it didn't look good at all. I mean, the defense, man, I was like, whoa, this team, they're moving, they're flying. They're flying around. But the offense was pretty much the same thing, man. It was a put-you-to-sleep offense for the most part. You know, the turnovers, same story that we've seen all year. Bortles, one-plus turnover interception a game. And then hopefully this isn't something that we'll continue to see with 16. So I don't like the fumble. Consecutive weeks fumble, you got to protect the football. So, you know, they're going to get back to the drawing board. I think Gus will emphasize ball security and not allow Denard to, you know, get complacent and continue to just work on the quarterback, man. Situational football, knowing when to, you know, not necessarily when to make those mistakes because you don't want to see them, but you have to have opportunity in the game where your defense is playing great, where you don't have to really put a lot on your shoulders. So I like to see them improve on that side.
Fred, we'll be back with you in just a moment. Call 1-800-XFINITY and ask how you can get started with Xfinity Internet for $19.99 a month for 12 months. There's no term contract and no early termination fee. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. Offer ends 12/31/14. Restrictions apply. Requires enrollment to EcoBill paperless billing. When we return on Jaguars postgame, the highlights, well, the highlights for the Colts, at least, in this one. 23-3, the final score. Indianapolis in control of the division. Again, 7-4 record. The Jags fall to 1-10. The Bud Light play of the game coming up. Final Everbank stat check as well. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. Final score in Indianapolis. The Colts won their 11th straight division game today. The 23-3 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jags are 1-10. Indy now 7-4. Here are the highlights. Let's get into it. Got an Indy highlights in this one. But the Jags defense came to play early today. They really played a solid first half in this game. First drive, a Cribs return. A nice return got him started. But a couple of plays in, Chris Clemens, the veteran, steps up and makes a nice play.
Straight drop. Luck looking. Now he's looking. Moves around the pocket. He's hit. Ball's out. The ball is on the ground. Can the Jaguars get it? I think they did. Ball was knocked out of there. A fumble was forced. Let's see who's got it. No signal yet. Jacksonville looked like it jumped on it.
They did jump on it. The Jaguars, though, on offense, the ensuing drive, unable to get anything done. It was second down. The Jags had just been into Indy territory, right across the 50. On a second down play, Vontae Davis picks off Blake Bortles.
Straight drop for Blake. Looking down the field, throws it out to the left side. It's going to be intercepted. That is picked off by Vontae Davis up the right sideline. He made one man miss. He's going to be brought down all the way down by Will Toffoe at the 21-yard line of Jacksonville. Vontae Davis picked it off, his third interception of the year. And the takeaway, the Colts got it right back, and they'll start deep in Jaguars territory.
Well, that was the story of the day. That really kind of set the tone offensively for the Jaguars. Couldn't do much. Next drive, Clemens had another sack on third down and forced a Vinatieri 46-yard field goal. 3-0 Indy at that point. Jags run defense the next Indy drive. Chris Smith had a sack fumble, the rookie out of Arkansas.
On 3rd and 8 from the 31-yard line. Four-man front for Jacksonville and a blitz. A little twist up front, and they're going to get all the way back. The ball's on the ground. That ball is on the ground inside the 15-yard line. What a rush by Jacksonville. And Jacksonville has it inside the 15-yard line. What great work by the Jaguar defense.
Chris Smith got it done. The Jaguars had 5 first-half sacks. That sack fumble, though, set up a 28-yard field goal from Josh Scobie. It was tipped at the line. Went through anyway. Tie game 3-3. There was another Clemens sack, the third in the first half for him. Ryan Davis had a sack as well. Vinatieri had a field goal late from 20 yards out. Halftime score was 6-3. Indianapolis into the second half. Jags offense shut down. 3 and out for the first 3 drives of the second half for the Jaguars, while the Colts just continued to score. Richardson from a yard out on their opening drive of the half made it 13-3.
I formation. They give it to Richardson. He lunges into the end zone. That's going to be a touchdown for the Colts.
Boy, they had an opportunity. They stopped his momentum initially. I think it was Tyson Alualu and Red Bryant into the backfield, but then there was no second wave to stop Trent Richardson short of the end zone.
Next Colts drive, second play of the drive. T.Y. Hilton, his wife had given birth to their baby this morning. He makes it pay off with a 73-yard touchdown past Grotz and in front of Cyprian.
Colts go without a huddle quickly. Play fake by Luck. Looking down the field, throws it to the right side. He's got a man wide open. Hilton is beat. Grotz along the right sideline. T.Y. Hilton up the right sideline. Looks back but is going to score. It's going to be a touchdown, a two-play, 85-yard touchdown drive for the Colts. Luck to Hilton for the touchdown.
That's the Bud Light play of the game brought to you by Bud Light. It reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. Well, it wasn't much else. Jags got down close, but a turnover on downs to the in their final possession. It was an interception overturned. That was it. Final score 23-3. Indy now 7-4. The Jaguars fall to 1-10. When we return, Fred Taylor back with us. Mike Dempsey as well. We'll have an Everbank final stats check. Jags fall in week 12, 5 games to go, trying to find a way here in 2014. More Jaguars post game after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars post game continues 23-3 Indy over Jacksonville in week 12. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey in Jacksonville, Fred Taylor on the phone line. Pride of the Jaguars running back. Hey, it's time for an Everbank final stats check, and we'll start with some of the team stats today. You know, in the second half, this game got away from the Jags. 6-3 at halftime. The Colts score on their first three offensive drives of the second half. So they had 24-11 first downs over the Jaguars today. Total yardage, 389-194. Colts led that. Rushing yards, 175 for Indy. Only 80 on the ground today for the Jaguars as a team. It was certainly a step back in that area. It was an area that the Colts had given up a lot of yardage last week. Passing yards, 214-114, so the Colts couldn't do much there. And Luck's string of 300-yard games was cut short today, too. He had a streak of, I think, 8 in a row. Those are the basic team stats, but I think you said something earlier in the week, Fred, that, you know, the team after a team that gashes somebody on the ground, it's kind of tough to come back and do that 2 weeks in a row against the defense.
Oh, most definitely. I did mention that in the pregame. And, you know, what's surprising, having Mercedes return. I thought that would actually help the run game and that we would see a little bit more of what we saw, you know, the 3 weeks previous to the Dallas game, but unfortunately it didn't. But in my experience, the teams that get gassed, they tend to go and correct those mistakes, and those teams that they're facing the following week, those numbers are down. So the coach, they went in and corrected what they had to get done and only allowed 80 yards rushing.
Yeah, and Fred, out of that, 18 for 56 from the tailbacks. Toby Gerhardt led the way with 31 yards on four carries. Denard Robinson really bottled up all day, at least in the running game, provided a little bit of a spark catching screen passes. It was Blake Bortles' 5 carries for 24 yards to put the Jags at the final total of 80 yards to go with his 146 passing. 15 of 27 today, had the early interception, of course, did not throw a touchdown. Marquise Lee led the way with 3 for 52, including that long of 37. That set him up at point-blank range, but they couldn't punch it in. Denard Robinson, 4 catches for 47 yards. Mercedes Lewis had to be disappointing today. Not only couldn't get the run game going, but one catch that went for negative 5 yards on a tight end screen that didn't look well-designed on that particular play. Andrew Luck on the other side, JP, you noted, didn't get his 300 yards passing. 253 with a touchdown. He did run for 49 on 8 carries today. Dan Heron, 12 carries for 65. Trent Richardson added 42 yards and a touchdown. T.Y. Hilton had his daughter born today, his first baby, Eugenia, and 4 catches for 122 yards, including that 73-yard touchdown and 3 hours of sleep, apparently, for T.Y. Hilton last night.
What do you make of that? I mean, that's
it didn't look like it.
No, it didn't at all. I mean, that's for that kind of performance, showed up late to the stadium, no sleep, all that, come out and do what he did today is pretty amazing, Fred.
No, it's very amazing. But he has a quarterback and Andrew Luck getting him the ball. Those guys are on the same page. They've been that way since T.Y. came in, or actually since they came in as rookies. And, you know, it's going to be a long, long It's going to be long for Jaguar fans if we don't improve over the next couple of years, being in the same division with those guys. You talk in Moncrief, another good young receiver who showed some glimpses today. We really have to go out, get some players to come in here, or get the guys that are out in here now. You know, they have to improve going forward.
Defensive stats today. Telvin Smith, 12 tackles, 2 for loss, 2 fumble recoveries, 1 special teams tackle today. Telvin Smith, I failed to mention the other stats during the MVP voting earlier, by the way, but Telvin had a great day. JT Thomas, 10 tackles today, a pass defense. Cyprian, 8 tackles. Of course, Clemens had the 3 sacks today. Some of the highlights on defense. But you mentioned him earlier. I mean, Telvin Smith, the way he has developed, and you found a weak side linebacker, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, he's all over the place. And that's what you want out of your weak side linebacker. You want to have the ability to be productive in the pass game as well as be all over the place creating havoc in the run game. And aside from this game, there are glimpses through other games throughout the season. The turnovers, he had a drop pick. I believe that was Cleveland game. He did some good stuff in Miami. I mean, he's all over the place, and I like to see more of him in the future. You mentioned JT Thomas right there. You know, Cyprian. Yep. Those guys are all first and second year players. So, I mean, we talked about bright spots. The defensive line is doing great. That's the strength of the team. You know, so these are bright spots. I failed to mention those guys you mentioned individually, but it's a lot to look forward to, man. I don't want to just throw the towel in this year, but I truly believe we have some really good players on the team.
And I agree, Fred. There are some glimpses of the future. JP and I were talking about Telvin Smith throughout the second half, saying, hey, they basically have found their starting weak side linebacker. It didn't look like anything was too big for him, including the amount of reps that he played. You know, strong in the run game. We know he can cover. We know he can run. But Gus Bradley has also come out, you know, in recent weeks and really, I think, increased the intensity and the focus on winning some of these football games. He said, look, you know, this race to maturity that's been going on has got to speed up at this point in time. We have to see results on the field. If you're going to look at the final 6 games of the year, at Indianapolis would not have been one you would have necessarily expected to win, Fred, but 5 weeks left, like you said, you don't want to write these 5 games off. I know the team doesn't want to. How important is it to this franchise for everything involved, for fan interest, for the players' belief, for the growth of this young roster to win some of these football games?
You want to keep your fan base engaged. You know, and the fans, they're going to come and support the team. You know, I mean, even when we were in our darkest days, 5-11 seasons, 2-6-10s or whatever, the fans still, they show up and they support. So you have your hardcore fan base that are going to be there because they're optimistic. They want to see the team turn things around. And I think we do have the talent there that can get it done. You just got to find a way to get better as a group, put everything together. And I don't want to use the excuse that the CBA or the guys, they can't get, you know, they don't necessarily have the luxury what we had, you know, in terms of the amount of time to practice and pads and those different things. But everybody across the league is doing it. I just think these guys got to buckle down, understand that this is their job. It's not just a game anymore. It's your job. And if you treat it as such, it'll reward you.
Fred, we'll be back with you in just a moment when we return on Jaguars postgame, a look around the National Football League in Week 12. Also, an injury report coming up a bit later. Final score in Indy. Colts 23, Jaguars 3. We'll continue after this on Jaguars Radio. 23-3 final, Indy over Jacksonville in Week 12. Jaguars postgame continues. Let's look around the National Football League in Week 12. Some really tight games in the league today. The Browns with the last second field goal beat the Falcons. Falcons had kicked one to take the lead with under a minute to play, but the Browns drive back down. Hoyer shakes off some interceptions and gets the job done today. 26-24, the final. Browns are 7-4 now all of a sudden. The Eagles, huge day. They're 8-3 with a 43-24 win over the Titans. Tennessee now 2-9. That's never a bad thing. The Patriots are now winners of 7 straight. They're 9-2, and it seems like a long time ago they lost big at Arrowhead Stadium. 34-9 over the Lions today. That's a good Lions team, too. Packers hold on in Minneapolis against the Vikings. 24-21 final. Packers are 8-3. Lacy had a good day on the ground, 125 and a touchdown. The Bengals are now 7-3-1, 22-13 win over the Texans. So the Colts' lead in the division has just expanded with the Texans' loss today. The Bears beat the Buccaneers with three third-quarter touchdowns. They were down 10-0 at halftime. Bears win 21-13. Games active in the league, second quarter early. Seahawks lead the Cardinals 6-0. That's in Seattle. A couple of field goals in that game. The Rams lead in San Diego against the Chargers 10-3. That's 11:30 left in the first half. Late first quarter in Denver, the Dolphins have a 7-0 lead over the Broncos. And also in action, the 49ers at home against the Washington Redskins. Late first quarter, 7-0, 49ers with the lead. The nightcap tonight, the Cowboys are in New York to face the Giants. Of course, the Giants will be here at Everbank Field next week. Final score from Indy, 23-3. We'll come back with a Baptist Health injury report and more with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. Jags are now 1-10, trying to find a way down the final five games of the 2014 season. More after this on Jaguars Radio. We continue on Jaguars postgame. Final score, Indy 23, Jacksonville 3. Indy now 7-4. And with Houston's loss today, the Colts are in command of the AFC South. The Jags are 1-10, searching for a way. This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. That's one of the positives today. No injuries for the Jaguars. They came back healthy into this game, and from what we understand, came out of the ball game healthy. That's a start. But entering this game, Fred, there were a couple of guys back from injury today. Mercedes Lewis, though we've talked about his play today, and you know, just tough to get him involved in the offense today. But Aaron Colvin on the other side played corner and had a couple of flashes today, Fred.
Yeah, he played well. You know, coming back, he played well, and that's always something good to see. Anytime a guy comes off injury, your teammates, you know, they welcome you back. You give them a second gear. Everyone's enthused. But he went out there, he played well, having the big duty, covering Reggie Wayne, who's definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. So you got to give him credit for what he did out there today.
Yeah, and, you know, Fred, I think obviously it's his first game. It's an odd situation, an odd point in the year to be making your debut. But what do you look for? If you're looking at a young cornerback, what are the telltale signs that this guy is going to be good that we should be looking for over the next 4 to 5 weeks?
Yeah, just how deep in the pockets of the receiver he is. You know, want to see how he changes direction. You want to see if he's minimizing his mental errors. You know, if he's playing above the X's and O's. Receivers are going to manipulate their alignment because of certain routes they have to run. And if he's on point, he'll be able to call out those alignments and pretty much know the route or either have a pretty good upside on guessing the route. But he played solid. He was there. He didn't get beat. I mean, that's what you want to look for. Don't get beat deep. We'll fight. We'll bend, don't break. Just don't get beat deep and give up the big plays.
You know, Fred, I know that Blake Bortles hasn't had a chance to play in the regular season until today with Mercedes Lewis, but they spent a lot of time in the offseason, and Mercedes has been practicing now for a few weeks, so it's not like he came back cold necessarily. Were you surprised they didn't find a way to get him a little bit more involved? I know this wasn't a heavily aggressive passing attack today, but will you look for that in the weeks going ahead, more Mercedes Lewis?
You know, I think he's going to have teams approach our offense, as he did today, heavy man-to-man coverage, jam, you know, their press coverage, daring us to beat them. But when you have a team, one, that doesn't really throw it deep, and our run, we're a run-first team, then you're going to get played that way. But I think early on in the game, you saw the first pick, the first interception that Blake threw was a bad ball. He threw it behind Mercedes, low and shallow, as opposed to out front, giving them an opportunity to catch it on the sideline. And I think the more and more they have an opportunity to play together in game situations, Mercedes will look for certain type of balls. Practice is one thing. The game is a total different beast. It speeds up. It's so much happening, and it's just a reaction. So I think they'll eventually get on the same page, and I like to see them take advantage of the heavy one-on-one coverages that teams are going to play us with to stop the run. And Mercedes can just ease out play action or just slip passes, quick outs here and there, and take advantage of those short yardages. Mercedes is a big guy. He can break tackles.
One final segment with analysis from Fred Taylor ahead. Also, we'll preview the New York Giants. And I'm sure, Fred, you'll have some Tom Coughlin stories to share when we return. We can't wait for those.
You better believe I got some.
All right, we'll be back in a moment. Final segment of Jaguars postgame. Final score, 23-3. Colts over the Jags. Colts are 7-4. Jags fall to 1-10. We'll wrap it up after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame, 23-3, the final score, Indy. Now 7-4, the Jags fall to 1-10. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey in Jacksonville. Final thoughts from Fred Taylor down in Western Florida today. A big picture look here, Fred. I mean, this game was right there for the taking. The defense was playing well. Second half, got away from them. They're now 1-10. So where do you go from here, Fred?
There's nowhere to go but up. Every week is a challenge. I just think that if the guys continue to play hard, you know, and just think of finishing the season strong, any win would help. You know, everything is going to count, I should say. So you have a lot of guys playing for contracts. Cecil, you know, he has an opportunity to re-sign a big deal or just re-sign an average deal. These guys have a lot on the table. But more importantly, they want to continue to play within the schemes and look forward to next year. Well, they're playing now in the moment, don't get me wrong, but you want to see what type of team you could possibly bring back, you know, a year from now. So they'll continue to play hard, I think.
And Fred, smaller picture today, you tweeted about this during the game, and I think Gus Bradley backed you up afterwards. The long touchdown to T.Y. Hilton, you know, as the guys were remarking on the broadcast, tough week for Dwayne Grotz, but it looks like he's supposed to have safety help there. Jonathan Cyprian bit on some kind of movement towards the middle of the field and never recovered on that play. Is that what you saw? And, you know, Sip has not had the most stellar second year here. What can get him going down the stretch here?
You know, in that particular play, a big 73-yard big play to T.Y., is a great play-action design where you have the tight end, you're on the seam post, and that's going to hold Cyprian at the safety position in cover two because the middle of the field is wide open. And then right there you had a receiver in T.Y. Hilton. You know, he wanted an outside release, but Grotz played it well. He took away the outside. Hilton, being a savvy veteran now, he skinnied it up and kept it vertical, and luck found him. So Cyprian was in a bind. No matter who he chose, you know, they were going to complete the pass if the receiver didn't drop it. The tight end, if he had let the tight end catch it, it wouldn't have been a touchdown. But right there, he hesitated, and luck found T.Y. right there for the touchdown. Simply, I think, you know, he's very aggressive. He's an aggressive safety, smart kid. He just had to have an opportunity. He hasn't had an opportunity to make plays, no interceptions. But I think he'll continue to mature at that position and be a threat in this game. But he has to just keep working at it.
The Jaguars will move on to Week 13. They'll be back at Everbank Field for the first time in about a month. Next week, next Sunday, 1 o'clock, the New York Giants are here. Tom Coughlin is here, and could it be the final time Tom Coughlin is here? That could be a question, the way the Giants have played this year. They're 3-7 entering today. They'll play tonight against the Dallas Cowboys. And it's, from what I understand, Fred, it's alumni weekend. A lot of old players coming in, right?
Yeah, man, alumni week. We're looking forward to seeing a lot of my old teammates. We might have a big surprise in the state. You never know.
Oh.
But I'm looking forward to seeing Coach Coughlin. I don't know if I've ever thought I would be saying those words after Camp Coughlin and all that. But definitely looking forward to this weekend. I think it'll be a special time. Reunite with our teammates.
Well, Fred, we'll look forward to seeing you here a week from today in Jacksonville. Well done. We'll talk to you soon.
You know what? I thought I had a Coughlin story. I wanted to tell everybody about...
Go for it.
Tavian Banks, the $10,000 fine for almost falling off the Main Street Bridge. But I could save it for another time.
No. Do tell.
Let us have it. Go for it.
So Coach Coughlin, you know, you've heard stories of you can't be late. Do not be late. You have to be 5 or 10 minutes early. If you're, you know, 5 minutes early, you might get fined. 10 minutes, you'll be okay. But Tavian and Cordell Taylor, they were coming across Main Street Bridge. The weather wasn't great. But they had an accident. They skidded on the steel grating right there, and the car ended up almost in the St. John's River. And these guys were they glass everywhere. They're cut up. Everything is all bad. The night we were at the stadium, and at the hotel for the team meeting. So they were late. The accident had them late. But when Coach looked at the accident report, he said, "You guys weren't going to be on time anyway." Fine, max fine, $10,000 each. So he didn't play. Coach, he didn't mess around.
That's incredible. How about that? Maybe he won't find anybody this weekend. You know, maybe that's all done and finished now. We'll find out, though, this weekend. Hey, Fred, well done. Well done, as always. We'll see you next week against the New York Giants.
All right, JP. See you later, Mike.
All right, Freddie T. There he goes.
Fred Taylor in Western Florida tonight.
That is classic Tom Coughlin, too. He calculated himself. He probably was right, knowing him. But, I'll never forget the time he chastised the fans after the game for not showing up when there was a tropical storm warning, and he had no idea that that was the case. That was TC. He was pretty solely focused on football.
There you have it. I'm sure we'll hear a few of those stories this week with the Giants coming into Jacksonville. That'll do it for Jaguars postgame. We'll be on the air next week on the network at noon. It's a 1 o'clock kick here at Everbank Field. The New York Giants and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Giants play tonight. Watch them on NBC. Cowboys are in New York this evening. Senior VP of Communications for the Jags is Dan Edwards. Jaguars manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Lagerman, and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good afternoon. Final score, Colts 23, Jaguars 3 on the Jaguars Radio Network.